Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the region's only locally produced public affairs program. Every Saturday at this time, Bedford County Speaks introduces community leaders, interesting topics, and people making a difference in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is presented exclusively by News Talk 1310 WBFD. Now, here's your host, Lloyd Broach.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you, and welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the weekly public affairs program over News Talk 1310 WBFD. Today's program is presented by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years, and by Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. I'll return shortly with today's guest, Diane Kelly of Firesong, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
This is Carla Amato of Bedford Banjo Shop. Listen for Bedford County Speaks with Lloyd Broach, Saturdays at 8:30 a.m., right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Have you bought your snow shovel yet? How about the gardener to clean up the yard for fall, or that leaky window in the back? Wouldn't it be great to be rid of all of this? At Homewood at Springhouse Estates, you'll learn how easy and inexpensively you and your spouse can set up a new home in a beautiful community that offers maintenance-free fun and a first-class chef to prepare your meals. Give them a call at 623-0349 and declare your independence at Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day.
This is District Attorney Bill Higgins. Let's head back to Bedford County Speaks, right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
I am at a very interesting place, which is not far from where I live here in downtown Bedford. It's called Firesong, and it's a hand-weaving studio. And I know nothing about hand-weaving, and I really don't know much about this at all, which is why I interview interesting people like Diane Kelly. This place has been here for a while, and you're going to hear all about it in a second, but I wanted to kind of give you a little bit of background. We're going to talk to Diane about two things. First of all, she has this wonderful studio where she takes wool from live sheep and turns them into works of wonder. And she also has a kind of a quasi-museum in this place as well, because you'll come in here and you'll see looms and you'll see spinning wheels and things of that nature. And we're going to ask Diane all about that. And then after the first part of the show, we're going to ask her about the building itself, which has a fascinating history. So first of all, let me introduce Diane. Diane Kelly is the proprietor of Firesong Hand Weaving Studio. And Diane, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
You're welcome.
You have a very interesting background. I have just learned that you are from Holland. Is it Pennsylvania or New York?
New York.
New York. You have a farm, along with everything else, where you raise sheep.
Correct.
Which creates wool. So this is the beginning of this, isn't it, with the sheep?
I wanted to go to college for textiles. I mean, I started out as a little baby playing with cloth. So That's what I wanted to do, and got talked out of it, went to Rochester, and spent many, many years as a graphic designer. I happen to like a couple things that people have around them everywhere and don't think about how they're made. So I was on vacation and just by luck ran across a great deal on a loom. So I came home with it and learned how to weave, and it was just natural to me.
So you said you came home and you wanted to now become a weaver.
I was running a metalwork company. I had had my own company. This was a side thing. I just wanted to learn how to do it. If you know anything about weaving, there's a warp on the loom. This loom came with a warp on it. That's the threads that are on the loom that you weave with. They were all baby blanket acrylic colors, and I like natural fiber, so I just tore it off, and I just put the warp back on the loom. I understood it from the get-go.
Really?
So within a couple years, I was teaching. I was writing articles for weaving magazines. I can't explain it. I just understood it. And I love weaving, and everything I do is one of a kind. It's going to be different. I design everything myself. I have the art background as a graphic designer and illustrator, so I do it. So I started weaving. I was working down in the D.C. area, and we found a new place, a small farm, and we needed to get animals to get agricultural ratings and that sort of thing. So I ended up with Angora goats and sheep. I'd always wanted to have them. Started raising them, and I love I was back to the farm. I was happy. Yeah. So I love raising them. And why those animals instead of beef cattle or anything else is because of the wool and the fleece, the mohair on the goats and the fleece on the sheep. Then as a side, a woman that I knew, a friend of mine, had border collies. And she liked the sheep I had. The sheep I had at that time were very hard to get in the U.S. They were a major breed in Britain. And I ended up with a border collie. And I love working the dogs and the sheep. Nowadays, I couldn't have sheep without the dogs. They're my working partner.
Let me stop here a second. My only contact with sheep, I worked on a farm as a kid, but we didn't have any sheep. It was a dairy farm. So explain to us how the dogs work with the sheep. Now, we've seen this in the movies, you know, where the sheep are in the pasture, peacefully minding their own business, and the dogs round them up. But I think there's more to it. So can you give us an idea of what they do? What's their function?
They're my partner. They will round up the sheep for me. They will hold them for me so I can look at them, see if anybody's got a problem, if there's any health issues. They will move them from field to field for me. They will help me sort them out. I can take a dog and sort out ones like come breeding season when I want to split up and some ewes go with one ram, some go with another. The dog will help me split them up. They are another hand. Now, most border collies have natural instincts, but you have to train them. You work with them and train them to do the jobs you need them to do, and they're wonderful working partners.
So a border collie's primary function in life is to herd sheep. I never knew that.
Well, yes, that's what they were bred for.
Yeah.
Nowadays, many of them do agility. They do all sorts of different things, but they're a very smart dog. They say they have the intelligence of a 5 to 7 year old. And if you think about that, that is awfully smart.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you this, every 5 to 7 year old I know today can work computers better than me. So our guest is Diane Kelly, and she's the proprietor of Firesong, the hand weaving studio right here in Bedford. She is right at the corner of Thomas and Penn. It's a beautiful building, and it is the former jail for Bedford County. We're going to talk about that in the second half, but I want to learn more about what you're doing in here. You have this beautiful sweater on. Did you make that?
No, this one I didn't make.
Okay.
I do make a lot of my clothes. I'm not only just a hand weaving studio. This is a craft gallery for local artists, and a major part of my business is yarn. I have all sorts of different yarns. I have yarn for my sheep. I specialize in natural fibers and in American-made yarns, and I dye most of them. Nowadays, with the internet, you can get yarns anywhere. My yarns, you can only get here. They're from my sheep. They're from the local area, or they're from American-made. And then in the shop, there's all sorts of finished items from myself and from local craftsmen. I have Barb Loshaw, who's a potter, Myrna Shaw, who does baskets, Loretta Radici does baskets, Bronwyn Collier does the tamari and also weaves. So we have a representation of things from this local area, as well as a couple artists from Somerset and Johnstown.
Well, when I was here last week speaking with you, you had mentioned that you dye yarn. Now, I know that there's no such thing as a red sheep, but it's fascinating to me because this means that after you spin the yarn, do you actually spin it here?
I can spin. I have a spinning wheel, but it takes a very long time. So that's only for specialty items and hand spun. It's a whole other process to shear the sheep. It gets sorted, and some of it stays here as raw fleece. When the fleece is just off the sheep, it's raw fleece. Some get sent away to make what's called roving or top, which is what you spin into yarn. I sell fiber to other knitters, spinners, you know, doll makers, all sorts of people. And then some is made into yarn.
Can you actually make things out of raw fleece, or does it have to be colored or something?
No, you can make things out of raw fleece. Traditionally, mohair, it was used for Santa Claus dolls.
Well, you're hearing a lot about a subject I certainly have been learning about for the first time from Diane Kelly at Firesong, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks. And I want to remind you this morning, we have a brand new sponsor. Now, these people are phenomenal. I had an opportunity to really get to know them the other day, and they're just terrific. And I went to visit Homewood at Springhouse Estates, And what a surprise that place is. At Homewood at Springhouse Estates, Independence Day is every day. Not only do you have your own place as a cottage or an apartment, but a terrific dining room, shuttle service to the market, walking trails, brand new facilities, senior fitness, bus trips, and spectacular views, all at no additional expense. At Homewood at Springhouse, you're going to fit in because your friends are already here. When I walked in the door the other day, the first person I saw was someone I know from my church. So call these people right now. They really have something going. Want to take a month or so off to see your grandchildren? Well, Homewood will keep an eye on your place, your house. They'll even turn out the lights if you want while you're gone. Call them at 623-0349. That's 623-0349. For Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. And by the way, Mary Grattan, who runs this place, is an absolutely beautiful person. I haven't met anybody in this organization that doesn't like her. I think you should walk in and just meet her just to see what she's doing. She even gave my wife and I some lunch. Maybe she'll give you some lunch too. Give them a call at 623-0349. And of course, our program today is also brought to you by Thomas Chevrolet, Mark Thomas, and the terrific folks over at Thomas Chevrolet Subaru. And our guest today is Diane Kelly, and she is the proprietor of Firesong, former Bedford County Jail. And when we come back, we're going to learn a little bit more about Firesong, but we're also going to hear some stories. She's got some great stories about the jail when Bedford County Speaks continues.
See the USA in your Chevrolet.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. When I was a kid, every Sunday evening, Dinah Shore sang that song. Being part of a Chevy family since 1939, I thought it was pretty special. Now that the weather has become Bedford beautiful again, why not stop by and see the USA in your Thomas Chevrolet? Right now, we have a great opportunity with a beautiful 2017 Malibu. All of them have the latest technology, comfort, and power to make driving fun again. At Thomas Chevrolet, you can drive away in one of these terrific Malibus at value pricing in the low 20s. When you get a great price, great trade-in, and our legendary service, that's called earning your complete satisfaction. That's what we do here every day. Come and see the USA in your Thomas Chevrolet right now. If you visit us this week, you'll find your 2017 Malibu in our showroom. And while you're here, we'll show you what complete satisfaction really is.
That's Thomas Chevrolet, where we guarantee your complete satisfaction every day.
This is Emily Dermer, a volunteer at Old Bedford Village, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Now, let's head back to Lloyd Roach and Bedford County Speaks.
Today, I am at Firesong Handweaving Studio, which is right at the corner of Thomas and Penn Streets here in downtown Bedford in the borough. An absolutely spectacular, beautiful September day. And I'm speaking with Diane Kelly, who has kind of told us all about the beginnings, if you will, the raw parts that go into what she does here. Before I moved here, every year they had a big fair called Chad's Ford Days. About 90% of the fair were crafters, people that come like yourself. But the Chad's Ford House, or the John Chad House, always had a spinning demonstration. It looked like real work. I was always in all of them. They'd have to clean the wool with these things that looked like big combs. Tell me how all this worked, because it just kind of blew my mind when I was watching this.
Actually, with the big combs, they weren't cleaning it. They were preparing it and getting it in line so it was easier to spin.
Uh-huh.
Fleeces in the old days were washed and then laid out on bushes or laid out on the lawn so they could dry, and then they were spun. This is a whole nother world. They're spinning in the grease. There's hundreds of different sheep breeds that make different types of yarn. Uh-huh. Some's more coarse for rug wool. Some's next to the fleece, next to the skin fine. It's a whole world. So trying to explain all of that would be a little bit difficult. But the process, you shear the sheep. Nowadays, most shears use electric shears, even though you can still do hand shears. It's called skirting, where you sort out the different parts of the wool, because there's different grades of wool on every sheep. Then if you're doing in the old days where they had to make their clothes themselves, they would sort out the different parts of the fleece. Some would be used more for clothing. Some might have been used for rugs around the house. They were washed. Then they were either carded or combed, which is what you saw, which is actually getting the fibers aligned and regular for spinning. Then they were spun. Hmm. Then after spinning, usually it was set, washed. Then they were put on a loom and they were woven. And back then, people don't think about it. I always joke, and my friends do, that I got into a couple things that people, like I said earlier, don't think about. It took hours and hours to make a piece of clothing. You didn't just go to the store and buy it. You made it. So most people back then, they might have had one dress or one shift. Now, we're talking 1600s, 1700s.
I was watching these people being portrayed as Quaker women. It took them all day just to make the yarn.
Yes.
Forget about the clothing. Yeah. That was later.
Yeah. And that all day to make the yarn wasn't near enough yarn to make a piece of clothing.
I see.
They needed to do that for a couple of weeks. And that's why they didn't have many clothes. The clothes weren't washed a lot. They had to make everything. And this was a wintertime job. This was a nighttime job.
I see.
Because everything, all parts of their lives were made just to exist.
Yeah. So from those humble beginnings, we're now up to 2017, where you are doing this in a similar fashion, or is there a different method?
No, it's basically the same. I'm not many people, and I have friends that do historic spinning and weaving. I don't. Mine is a more modern take on it. I'm using the same techniques that were done, you know, centuries ago, but I'm doing modern pieces.
I guess with the methods involved, they're similar, but today we have machinery. So if I were to go and buy a sweater or something woven in a store, you know, I don't know, some store, Boscov's or Walmart or whatever, these things are all done on machines. There's no human intervention at all.
Yes, there is. Actually, I can't speak much about knitting because there are commercial knitting machines, and I actually have a small hand knitting machine. As far as weaving, the only difference is it's mechanical, but the system is the same. Those pants you're wearing are woven the same way that I weave things on my loom.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is that it's mechanical. There's something that throws the shuttle back and forth. There's aids to make it easier. What happens, though, is there's still humans that are helping wind the warp. There's still humans threading the machine. There's still people putting things on the loom. But what happens is I'm not a production weaver. There's even home weavers that are production weavers that'll weave 10 of the same thing.
I see.
I don't. I weave one of a kind. Everything I design and do is different. So I don't put on, you know, the longest warp I might put on is 15 yards. In commercially, they're hundreds of yards. They're wound out, and they're just weaving, you know, yards upon yards of cloth.
And these are the same things. Well, in this case, I'm wearing some jeans, which are made of cotton, so that's really mass production.
Yeah. Okay. Well, any of that. Wool, yeah. Any of that is, yeah, everything's mass produced. It's still sewn by machine with people running the machines, cutting out the fabric. It's just that's why. This gets into a whole nother issue, but why I do American made, because most of this stuff is going overseas. That's why you see these tags, because that's what keeps the price down. The garment industry in New York, New England was known for its wool industry.
Right.
South Carolina for the cotton industry. Most of them, I know a mill that was in Virginia that even 20 years ago was still working, and now I think is gone. Some are coming back with a more buy American, trying to be ecologically friendly with things. We are getting, but not on the scale. People always ask me, and they come in and they see prices and they kind of gasp. And then I say, well, wait a minute. Do you know how many hours it took that? I'm not even making minimum wage for what I'm doing. And I can't compete with China.
Well, you're not in the mass production business.
No.
I mean, I heard a very interesting analogy to that years ago. They said that a set of tires today, in today's money, costs about the same as a set of horseshoes in 1805.
That's interesting.
Because horseshoes were a very necessary thing to travel and transportation. So to make a good horseshoe, you had to make them very, very well so they would last on the horse. Today, because horseshoes are so rare, they cost 10 times as much as they used to. So that's why mass production has changed everything. And so I thought that was a pretty good analogy. Our guest is Diane Kelly. Before we go to this next subject, I want to pick up. Tell me a little bit about this shop. What are you doing here?
I work on everything in here.
Okay.
We have a ladies group that comes in and knits. I have I teach here. I have looms here that I work on. What you see here are more modern versions of older looms, but they work the same way, and that's what I do while I'm here.
Now, about this fantastic building you're in, we want to change gears because this is one of the reasons I wanted to come and talk to Diane. This was the former, and by the way, Diane corrected me on this. I said I thought it was a jail that was run by a warden. She says, nay, it's a jail run by a sheriff. So it was the Bedford County Sheriff's home.
Correct.
And jail. So if you were incarcerated for a crime waiting for arraignment, you would come here to this building, would you not?
Yes.
Now, when did they close this place?
It was a jail. It was built in 1895, and it was a jail till the end of 1995.
So, I mean, this is something. This is a 19th century jail where people were still here at the very end of the 20th century.
Correct.
So what did you discover when you took the building over? Was it interesting to find these cells in here? And
well, we knew about it. The county actually auctioned this building off, and anybody in, I mean, you could come through it. So the jails weren't interesting, but some of the other things were. There was a story that there were slot machines here, kept
really?
Here. And I had a very hard time believing that until we found a token down in the basement that was from a slot machine.
So there's a little commerce going on in the jail at the time.
It wasn't commerce. They had no place to – they actually raided and got the slot machines. They didn't have any place to put them, so they came to the jail for a while.
So I wonder if the prisoners were hitting the slot machines every night.
Well, I don't know if the prisoners or the deputies, but they were here for a while.
Oh, my word. And so – when I first came here, you gave me a tour of one of the cells. These are not very inviting. They're not like the modern ones.
That have no, not at all.
This is kind of a jail in the movie kind of a jail. Are they still in here?
They're still in here. You have to think about when this was built in 1895. When it was originally built, you can see the rivets. They didn't even weld it together. It was riveted like an old ship.
So if I stayed here, do you have any idea what my life was like when I stayed here?
I've met a lot of people that have been in here. It was not comfortable, but at times there was hardly anybody in here. This is a county jail, so it was for short term.
Right.
It was anybody up to a year. Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, they had what they called the drunk tank. They had, you know, they picked up people for DUIs or, you know, somebody on the streets. I had one of the guys that worked on the place had a friend accuse him of stealing something, and he ended up spending the weekend in jail basically on purpose. When he was accused was when the judge wasn't available, so he had to spend the weekend till he could clear his name on Monday. So it's a small, you know, it's a county jail,
right.
And so there's all sorts of interesting stories.
Now, I heard one story where a man claimed to have stayed in the jail for 10 years, but you said that's impossible because you're only supposed to be here less than a year. But it turned out he was here a lot over 10 years.
He just kept getting caught, and he ended up spending a lot of time here.
So the Bedford County Jail. Now, the other thing I heard from you is that the sheriff lived here. Would he live upstairs, I guess?
No, he lived where we're talking down in what used to be the dining room, the first floor. It's actually a very beautiful residence, 3 stories plus the basement. It's like a traditional Victorian home. There's a living room, dining room, and parlor. The kitchen's in the back. Upstairs are bedrooms. And then there was an attic, a wonderful, you know, top story, huge attic for storage.
Now, if you married the sheriff, apparently you were in for a little task you really weren't ready for, understand?
Back then, the sheriff's wife took care of the prisoners as far as feeding. Now, they obviously, especially as time went on, had kitchen staff here. But back originally, the sheriff's wife fed the prisoners, and there's a bread oven in the basement.
So do you think they had to wash the clothes too?
I have no idea.
Poor woman.
I doubt it. I doubt if they washed them back then.
Yeah, honey, let's get married so you can take care of all the prisoners in my jail.
I think that just went with the job back, years ago.
Well, our guest is Diane Kelly, and we are speaking to her from the Firesong Hand Weaving Studio, which happens to be, in fact, the very same building that we're talking about, the former Bedford County Jail. In fact, if you come up Thomas Street, just not even a quarter of a block, you will see it over the front door, I guess it still says.
Yeah, that was the Well, there was two separate entrances. You think about it, this was a residence and a jail. Right. This Thomas Street side is the jail entrance where the prisoners came in, where they got booked. And then the Penn Street side was the entrance for the residence.
I see.
So there's actually two addresses for the building.
So if you're coming in handcuffs, you don't go in the front door.
No, you don't come in the front door. An interesting story, the first fall foliage here, I just happened to be near the Penn Street door, and a gentleman walked in, looked around, said, "So that's what this side looks like," turned around and walked out. So I'm assuming he spent a little time
So you had
here.
A former resident to review his former home from the other side of the building. So you really picked a very creative place to have this store. I mean, this studio. I mean, who would imagine that you'd have a jail? I mean, it must be, when people come, they must really like this because it isn't just a little flat building out in the middle of a road someplace. You've got really a very authentic historical landmark here.
Yes, it's a wonderful – and it's interesting because a lot of people don't realize this was a residence and a jail. They just think jail, and then they look around on the residence side, and it's amazing. Yeah.
Well, I can just tell you from sitting here with Diane right now, the beautiful wooden floors, the beautiful building cabinets. I guess there must have been a kitchen here for
the there was a huge kitchen. They, after it closed as a jail, they had probation offices in here. And then they did a little work, added some ceilings. They kind of changed the kitchen because they had a lot of offices here. But there was a huge kitchen. And I actually even got pictures from somebody about the cabinets and stuff that used to live here many years ago.
What did it look like when you arrived?
It needed a lot of work.
Yeah, so you had to redo this whole thing.
I had to do everything from painting and stripping floors. The one nice thing is when probation was here, they did strip some of the fireplaces, which I hadn't realized. They had been painted upstairs, and then they stripped them back down. But we rebuilt the fireplaces, had been collapsed. They've all been rebuilt. They work again.
Do you know how many there are in the house?
There's originally were 13. Now there's 11.
11 fireplaces in one house.
Yeah.
Holy smoke.
Yeah.
So that was a sign of somebody affluent because a lot of fireplaces.
There was a fireplace basically in every room.
So you had a warm house.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you've been a delight. I'm out of time, but you've really been a delight. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. And we've been speaking with Diane of Fire Song. And if you want to get a hold of Diane, let me give you her phone number. It's 623-0776. That's 623-0776. And if you can't remember that, just get a hold of us at the radio station. We'll tell you. Her website is Fire Song Studio, all one word, firesongstudio.com. And did I miss any good story?
There's all sorts of stories.
You want to leave us with one more great story?
Sure. There was somebody in town that some of the older people probably remember and know who it was, who was staying here, who saved up his butter pats from his meals and used them to escape. He got naked, covered himself in butter, and came out through one of the food outlets that let food into the prison side of the jail, ran through the kitchen and out into the streets of Bedford. He didn't make it very far being dressed in his birthday suit, but it's a story that a lot of people know about.
Well, that certainly is a creative escape.
Yes.
Yeah, that would have been, you know, can you imagine that done today? That would have been a great TV story. All right. Well, thank you, Diane Kelly. Thank you very, very much for doing this. And you've been terrific. Bedford County Speaks was presented this morning by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. And by Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. I look forward to joining you next time, right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, enjoy your weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
Thanks for listening to Bedford County Speaks. This program is heard every Saturday at this time over News Talk 1310 WBFD. If you would like to hear this program again, visit BedfordCountySpeaks.com and click Listen Here. Bedford County Speaks is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310. If you or your organization would like to appear on the show, visit our website, BedfordCountySpeaks.com, for contact information. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.